My heart's just overwhelmed with joy and excitement and thankfulness to God for what He is. I might have some tears too.
All right.
For what He's done here. To God be the glory.
Amen.
Oh, I had some plans here at this church. Oh, they were good, good plans in my way of thinking. But they were my plans. And my plans always would go up like a rock and come down like a rock. But if you wait on the Lord and you seek His plan, it always works. I'll tell you, if you're looking, trying to figure out what God wants for your life, wait on God. Get yourself out of the way and just see what God does. You may have to wait a while, but His plans always work. Thank you, Pastor Kev, for letting me come today and your kind invitation, so gracious. Kevin is just one of the many, many of God's plan. Only God could have put this together. How many preachers have their son-in-law succeed them and get away with it? But you could see God's hand as I could see God's hand in raising up this special boy to be our pastor. And his sweet wife, Julie. She's just like her mom.
Amen.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I remember when Julie finally realized that she and Kevin ought to be married, she said, "Dad, I don't understand it. I always thought the Lord wanted me to marry a pastor, and Kevin works for Bell South." And I said, "Sweetheart, God's got a plan, just trust Him." Well, surprise, surprise, surprise. She's married to a pastor.
Amen.
What a wonderful pastor. We could have searched all over the United States to try to find a pastor for Charleston Baptist Church. God just put him right in our lap right here.
That's right.
I'll never forget first time I ever heard the name Kevin Giordano. Many of you remember Bobby and Pam Giordano in our church for many years and live in North Carolina now. Pam called me up one day and she said, "Pastor Jack, I got to ask you something." I said, "Okay." She said, "Is Julie dating anybody?" And I said, "No, Pam, she's not dating anybody right now." She said, "Well," I could tell she kind of perked up. She said, "She said, I'd like to introduce Julie to my nephew, Kevin." For a little while, there was stone cold silence. And I said, "Well, maybe you better tell me just a little bit about your nephew, Kevin." And here's what she said. "Oh, he's just precious." And we found out that really and truly she was telling the truth. And what a wonderful blessing Kevin and Julie have been to us and to this church in particular across the years. And so have their beautiful children, five of them. One's in heaven, but I count him too.
Amen.
I told the Lord the other day, I said, "I'm looking forward to seeing my grandson, Lord, someday again." Now, if you would take your Bibles with me and turn with me this morning to Psalm 23 and verse 3. Just part of a passage of Scripture, but what a wonderful part of Scripture it is. Notice David says of the Lord, "He restores my soul." He restores my soul. The Hebrew word for restore means to renew and to refresh and to bring back to a state of beauty and majesty. That's what God does for His children. He says He restores my soul. And the word soul there in the Hebrew is nephesh. It means your very being, your essence. You remember when God created Adam and Eve in the garden? The Lord took some dirt. The Bible says in Genesis 2:7 that He formed man from the dust, literally the dry dirt of the earth. And had He stopped there, all man would have been was something like you'd see down at the department store in the window, a mannequin, nothing. But then the Bible says that the Lord God breathed into Adam the breath of life. And Adam became a living, breathing, walking, talking, thinking soul. And the Bible says he was made in the image and likeness of God. And all of us, we have a stamp and an imprint of God upon us. Sin has contaminated all, but listen, you're made in the image of God. And I'm made in the image of God. And that makes us special in the sight of the true and the living God. But now we live in a fallen world, and the pressures of life can beat us up and wear us down. And there are times when you and I need restoration. There are three areas where you probably, at least some here today, will need restoration. There are others, but I just want to mention three today. One, some people, like David, may need restoration from sin. Now, without a doubt, King David was a great, great man. And the Bible says of David that he was a man after God's own heart. But there was a dark side to David. You study his life, and there were times when David was a man against God's own heart. One preacher called David the Dr. Jekyll and the Mr. Hyde of the Old Testament. That was David. And this dark area especially manifests itself in his marriage and family relationships. Oh, he's a great king, but not so much when it came to marriage and family life. David had, according to the commentaries I read, either 7 or 8 wives and lesser wives called concubines. And from those unions, he had 20 children. Imagine, 20 children. 19 sons and 1 daughter. And his relationship with his wives and with his children wasn't very good. Sarah, what a reminder to you and me today that we need to make sure our hearts are right with God, and as best we can, make sure our homes are right with God as well. And so, here is David. He, in his relationships with marriage and family, not good. And all this culminated with a big disaster in his life. He had an affair with a married woman. She got pregnant. He tried to cover it up. That didn't work. He had her husband put in the heat of battle, and Uriah, her husband, was killed. David may have thought in the beginning, got away with it. I got away with it. God saw it all. And he sent Uriah, the great prophet, Eliah laid out what was going to happen. And it wasn't going to be good. And in Psalm 51, when the consequences of David's sin really began to take root in his life, David cries out for restoration. In verse 12, he says, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." You see, David learned the hard way what you and I need to learn the easy way, and it is this: if you're bound to sin, you're bound to suffer. That's just the way it is. And when you sin, friends, you pay a big price. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will hurt you more than you want to suffer. And sin will cost you more than you want to pay. David learned the hard way that sin costs, and it costs big time. Some people, like David, need restoration from sin. Then some people, like Elijah, need restoration from stress. Elijah was a great man of God. What a great man of God Elijah was. And yet, as great as he was, after he had encountered Ahab and Jezebel, wicked, vile king and queen, R.G. Lee, the great Baptist preacher, said that Ahab was a human toad who sat on Israel's throne. Boy, that's a good way to describe him, isn't it? And Jezebel was the black widow spider of the Bible. And he confronted them, and he confronted the prophets of Baal. And he won the victory. But it just wore him out. And he had to flee because the whole everybody was after him. And he got away. And he found an old juniper bush or a broom bush. And the Bible says he sat under that bush. And he was so weary and worn out, he basically said to the Lord in 1 Kings 19 and verse 4, "It's enough, Lord." In other words, "Lord, stop this crazy world. I want to get off. I'm tired of living, and I wouldn't mind dying." You know what? The Lord never did answer that prayer. You know, Elijah never died. He's one of two men in the Bible who never died. The other was Enoch. The Lord never answered that prayer. But here's what the Lord did do. He renewed him and he refreshed him. He fed him and he put him to sleep and he renewed him. We have a word that you hear a lot today is called stress. Somebody said the average American is all stressed up and he has nowhere to go. Well, we have a problem with stress. What is stress? Well, stress occurs when the demands on us are greater than the strength in us to deal with the situation. A little bit of stress is okay. It helps you get up because of the body to release adrenaline. But a lot of stress is not okay. It will wear you out prematurely. Charles Stanley said that stress is like the passing gear of an automobile. It's good when you need it, but if that car gets stuck in passing gear, it's about $4,000 or $5,000. Pretty soon, you're going to have to buy a new transmission. Don't last long. That's the way stress is. And so Elijah was a man who was stressed out. Some people, like David, need restoration from sin. Others, like Elijah, restoration from stress. And then others, like Asaph, need restoration from disillusionment. Now, who was Asaph? Well, Asaph was a musician. I'm going to tell a little bit about musicians, okay? He worked in the temple. He wrote music, psalms. Maybe performed them, I don't know. But in one of the psalms, in Psalm 72 and verse 3, 72 verses 2 and 3. Asaph looked at the difficulties of the saved and the prosperity of the wicked. And he said, Lord, it almost caused me to slip, to trip up. I don't understand it. Why, it seems like those people who are trying to follow you, they have so much adversity. And people who could care less about you seem like they prosper more and more. Maybe you felt that way at some time. In fact, I've had people say to me before, Pastor, I don't understand it. I try to follow Jesus and I try to do the right thing and I have this thing happen and that thing happen and I've got family members and I've got friends. They could care less about Jesus. And they just seem to be getting along just fine. And I always say, be patient. Be patient. Because God's got another day coming for you. Now, maybe you're here today and you need restoration. Let me just share with you some life lessons, a few life lessons that may help us experience restoration. Whether it's restoration from sin or stress or disillusion or something else, these are some brief life lessons I hope will help you. Number one, when it comes to restoration, we need to look to God. David knew this because David says of the Lord, He, that's the Lord, restores my soul. Now there's some things that a man can restore. Man can restore an old clock. Man can restore an old car. Man can restore an old piece of furniture. But listen, only God can restore a soul. You see, the Lord specializes in restoration. Let me just get it a little more narrow here. It is the Lord Jesus who specializes in restoration. You see, we're close to God, and the only way I'm close to God is through Jesus. And Jesus is God. Study the life of the Lord Jesus and you're going to find that He was the Father's agent in creation. He was the Father's agent in salvation. I'm telling you, it's the Lord Jesus who is the Father's agent in restoration. If you're here today and you need restoration, look to Jesus. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. You want restoration? Number one, look to God. Number two, look to God with praise and thanksgiving. You see, the very first thing that you and I need to do when it comes to restoration is not ask God to restore us, but to praise God and thank God that He is able to restore us. The psalmist said this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And in Psalm 100, the Bible says that we are to enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And we are to be thankful unto Him and bless His holy name. Your restoration, look to God and look to God with praise and thanksgiving. Over in Psalm 22, just one chapter over in verse 3, the Bible says this about the Lord. It says, God inhabits the praises of His people. Let me give you a good principle. The Lord just gave it to me this week as I was preparing this message. Let me give you a good principle. And here it is. When our praise goes up, the living God shows up. Let me say it again. When our praise goes up, the living God shows up. You want restoration? Look to God. Look to God with praise and thanksgiving. Number three, believe that God is able to restore because He is. In Ephesians 3:20, the Bible says that our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. And in Hebrews 2 and verse 18, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. In a practical sense, let me tell you what this means. It means that the Lord is able to take our mess and turn it into a message. The Lord is able to take our tests and turn it into a testimony. The Lord is able to take our sin and turn it into salvation. The Lord is able to take our burnout and turn it into blessing. And the Lord is able to take our vexation and turn it into victory. I want you to think about this. If the Lord is able to take a piece of coal and over a period of time turn it into a beautiful, beautiful diamond. If the Lord is able to take a grain of sand and over a period of time turn it into a beautiful, beautiful pearl. If God is able to take a creepy, crawling caterpillar and over a period of time turn it into a beautiful monarch butterfly. If God is able to take a pile of dirt and turn it into a living, breathing, walking, talking human being made in the image and likeness of God, don't you know that God is able to refresh and renew your soul? He certainly is. 2 Corinthians 4:16, the great apostle Paul said, the outward man is perishing, but the inward man is renewed every day. Now, one other thing. If we want restoration, we've got a part in it. We must be willing to do our part. Now, here's what this means very practically. One, if we need restoration from sin, we need to repent. I said earlier, David was a big-time sinner. He was. But let me say this, David was also a big-time repenter. You read that in Psalm 51. He comes clean before God, and he doesn't blame anybody else. He doesn't blame his family. He doesn't blame his responsibilities as king. David just says, Lord, it's me. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I need restoration. If we need restoration from sin, we need to repent. If we need restoration from stress, we need to rest. That's what the Lord did for Elijah. He put him to sleep and he fed him good food. The Bible says the last time he fed him with that food, he went the strength of it 40 days. That must have been some wonderful, wonderful food. And Elijah was renewed and refreshed. There have been times in my life when I've just been talking to the Lord, and I would say this, now, Lord, I'm kind of worn out right now. Lord, please remember, you said in the Word, you remember that we're but dust, and today, Lord, I'm feeling kind of dusty. Lord, I need some help. I need some refreshment. I need some renewal. And let me tell you something, I'm 72 years old, and God has never failed to help me when I needed renewal and refreshment. Talk to God and ask Him to renew you, and He will. Then if we need restoration from disillusionment, we need to remember. We need to remember that God sees the big picture, and we don't. And even though you go through some hard times and it looks like the wicked are prospering and you're not, just remember that God is going to have the last word in your life. And it's going to be a good word. And the Bible says for God's children that one of these days the Lord is going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. And speaking about heaven, the great apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered the hearts of men the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. When I think about this, I think about a story I heard one time about this old missionary. When he and his wife were young folks, they went to Africa to tell the good news of Jesus. Well, the years passed by. They got old. And she got sick and died. He buried her right there in Africa. Not long after that, he got a letter from his mission board in America telling him that because of his advanced age, they were retiring him immediately. He had to go back home or return home. He had no choice but to return home. He made his way to London, England. Booked passage on a ship headed for New York City. Got the cheapest ticket he could get. That's all he could afford. He didn't know it, but on that ship was the President of the United States and a large entourage of his associates. They had been to Africa on a wild game hunting safari. And then he had toured the capitals of Europe. And now he and his large entourage were on that ship headed back to America. Took about a week. Ship made its way into New York Harbor. There was a large throng of people there at the dock. They were waving and cheering because they knew the president was on board that ship. Ship docked, and when the president stepped off, a military band began to play Hail to the Chief, other patriotic music. He had a top hat, and he tipped his hat to the people, and he and his large entourage, they were among the first off. They got in the fanciest automobiles of the day, and that motorcade sped away real quick, and everybody was just waving and cheering. The old missionary was among the last folks to get off the ship. He wondered if anybody would be there to greet him. He walked down and got his luggage. There wasn't one person there to welcome him back home. Made his way a little way, saw a cheap hotel, checked in, went up to the threadbare room, sat down on the bed, and began to do what I sometimes do, began to feel sorry for himself. And he said this to the Lord, "Lord, I don't understand it. The President of the United States goes off to Africa to a big wild game safari, and he comes back home to a hero's welcome. My wife and I go off to Africa to tell people about Jesus. I bury her there. I come back home, and there's not one person to greet me and welcome me back home." The old missionary said this. He said, "It was then that the blessed Lord Jesus Himself came into that room. And it was as if Jesus Himself put His arms around him. And He said, 'My son, you've got to remember this. You're not home yet. You're not home yet.' My friends, there'll be times when you'll be stressed out and worn out. There may be times when you will slip up and fail God and get out of fellowship with God. But just come to the Lord and confess your sin, get your heart right with God. And always remember that we're not children of earth trying to make it to heaven. We're children of heaven trying to make it through this earth. And there's a better day coming for God's children. Just a few more days to sing God's praise and tell the old, old story. Then the curtain will fall and God will call and take us home to glory. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy, I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home." Aren't you glad that our God is the great God of restoration? Now, let's pray together. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your wonderful word. And now, as we come to this time of invitation and commitment, we pray that the blessed Holy Spirit would speak to hearts and change lives as only you can do. And we ask this in the precious, wonderful, and powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now, we're going to have a gospel invitation. Pastor Kev is going to be right here. And sweet, precious friend, if you're here today without Jesus, come to Jesus today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make, barring none. He will give you life eternal. He'll give you life abundant. You got to come to Him in repentance and faith, though. And all your sins are washed away, and all His perfect righteousness is given as a free gift. And He gives you home in heaven, and then He puts heaven in you. You come on to the Lord today. And then maybe you're here, you need restoration. My Jesus specializes in restoration. Pastor Kev, I'd love to pray with you. Others counsel with you. Whatever your decision is, let's all stand together. Pastor Kev will be right here. You come now as we stand.